I'm glad you're here today. So let me extend the right hand of fellowship from the pulpit to you. And let us just have a word of prayer before we look at God's word today. So let's pray. Lord, help us focus. Let us be directed by your Holy Spirit as we open your word today. Lord, your Holy Spirit is the inspiration, the one who inspired the authors to write these words. So may we apply them to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we are continuing through the message called The Seven Arrows of Our Christian Economy. And let me just briefly review what we visualized for our church a couple of weeks ago. So from this pulpit, I ask you to visualize what a healthy church can be. And this is a couple of weeks ago we did this. But our church should be a place where everyone is welcome, a church where everyone is incorporated into the body, a place where God is honored all the time, a place where we can look forward to coming on Sunday morning, a place where we can grow spiritually, and a place where we like to come on time. Yes. That is very nice to come right around 10 o'clock or just a few minutes before. You'd be amazed how many people are actually here waiting for you, but it would be nice if everyone come more or less on time. I told you before that my personal goal for our church is this. I want to help create an atmosphere where people know they are loved and where people can experience the love of God. Let me say that again. I want a church where when you arrive through that front door, you know you are loved and where you can experience the love of God. You see, and I'll say this two or three more times yet, we can't just be at church. We have to be church. I'm going to tell you this several times also. This church will be Christ-centered. And this church will be Bible-based. What do I mean by Bible-based? Ladies and gentlemen, if I'm preaching something that is not from Scripture, please, you have my permission to tap me on the shoulder and say, Pastor Brian, where is this from the Bible? The scriptures will be used every Sunday. I truly believe that the culture of our church should be a place where God's word reinforces our Christian character. First and foremost, it tells us what our Christian character should be, but it should reinforce what our Christian character is. So why do we use the seven arrows? Well, arrows, it's found in Scripture. And, wow, isn't that a nice slide that Yuko made for us? I like it. Here's why we use the arrows, Isaiah 49, 2 and 3. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of his hand. He has concealed me, and he has also made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will show my glory. I know if you're just looking at this Bible verse for the first time, maybe it seems a bit complicated, but let me help. He is God the Father. My mouth is Jesus Christ, like a sharp sword. The word of God is a sharp sword, and so is the penetrating power of Jesus and the shadow of his hand. He has concealed me. You see, at this time in Scripture, Jesus has not come. So it is prophecy. Jesus has been sort of hidden, waiting to come. He will come a couple of, maybe 600 years after this is written. And he has made me a select arrow. He made Jesus a select arrow. And he has hidden me in his quiver, and he has said to me, you are my servant, Israel. The word Israel here means Jesus. It doesn't mean the country of Israel or the nation of Israel. In this case, it means Jesus, in whom I will show my glory. God will show the glory of himself through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why we have the seven arrows. We've done two of the arrows, and this week is the third arrow. The first 2 weeks we did this. Arrow number one was the value and necessity of prayer. I chose prayer first because every time I open something at church, whether it's a Bible study or a worship service, first thing I do is pray. Yeah. And the second arrow last week, we need to be a church where we are encouraged. I want us to encourage each other to love and to good deeds, to encourage, to let people know how much we care about each other. When I walk through those doors Sunday morning, I want someone to come up to me and say, "How are you? I'm glad you came," to encourage you. And that's part of the process of being a healthy church. Well, this week, arrow number three. We should not judge unfairly. Oh my. I think that's an important aspect of a church where we are not judging one another unfairly. Brothers and sisters, let me be honest with you. Every message that I preach cannot be ear-tickling. Ear-tickling. I think there's a verse about that. Is it on here? I think it's the next verse. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. You see, when people only want to hear fun and good, happy things, or maybe even wrong doctrine, it is like tickling their ears. But sometimes we have to preach from the pulpit things that maybe are not so much fun to hear. So this week we're talking a little bit about judging. Well, the Bible cannot be like a grocery store. It should be a little bit like a grocery store, but it can't be like we approach a grocery store. I go shopping. Yeah, you didn't know I brought my groceries today. We shopped yesterday at Super Tamade. You ever shop there? That place is quite noisy. Rory, Rory, Roy. Oh my goodness, I had to leave there sometimes. I shopped at Super Tamade. But, you know, when I go shopping, I like to go for the things I like. But there are many things in the grocery store that maybe I don't like. But as a Christian, we have to be able to approach the Bible like a grocery store. We cannot just buy what we like. Okay? We have to buy everything. That's a very big shopping cart. Well, let me tell you what I like. The first place I go when I go to the grocery store, I like chicken noodle soup. Oh, it is my favorite. I can eat chicken noodle soup for breakfast sometimes. I love it. It is very hard to find, and you have to go to a special store. Actually, Super Tamade did not have this. I had to go to another store, but I put it in this bag. Yeah, chicken noodle soup. I love chicken noodle soup. Mm. Nancy, we'll have this for lunch today. Ah, it smells so good. Now, there are parts of the grocery store I don't like to go to, and this is sometimes from the Bible. We say, I don't like to read that passage, but we have to. So, every time I get a shopping list from my wife, she puts this on the list because she likes it, even though I do not like it. And last time I went shopping, she put this in capital letters. Oh, my goodness. I was sure she wanted it, even though I do not like it. My wife likes broccoli. I don't mind broccoli. I like to watch other people eat it. But myself, I'm not the favorite of broccoli. But I have to buy it. So when I go to the grocery store, I cannot just buy chicken noodle soup, what I like. I have to sometimes buy the broccoli. And sometimes you will see this message today. There's a lot of broccoli today. So hang in there and enjoy the broccoli, at least for today. Hang in there. We'll do our best. I'm going to leave this up on here. Let me review our scripture verse today. And it is from Matthew 7, verses 1 to 5. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in this way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Wow. It's a very exciting passage of Scripture. But I think it is amongst the most quoted verses in the whole Bible. You know some? Even the non-Christians know this verse. Because when you are approaching someone about something that may not be right, they will say, "Judge not, lest you be judged." Aha! Christians like this verse, and we should. But it's amongst the most popular. It's almost as popular as John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish." We all know this, and many non-Christians know this. But the non-Christians, they like this verse because they don't like to be told things. Verse 7:1, it says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." You know something? This is probably a verse that has allowed our society to become probably the most tolerant in the history of mankind. Let me say that again. This one verse has allowed our society to be amongst the most tolerant in the history of mankind. Because we are so concerned about being politically correct. Let me give you some examples. You tell me how you feel about these three statements, and you tell me if it's not a time when you exercise some political correctness. Here's three statements. You tell me how you feel about them. Number one, people who sleep together before marriage are sinning because God calls premarital sex fornication. I'm allowed to say fornication. I'm the pastor. Number two, a doctor who performs an abortion without just cause is a murderer of an innocent baby because God says, "Thou shalt not kill." Three, marriage is between a man and a woman, and any other relationship is sin because God says so. All of that comes right from Scripture. Maybe you're saying to yourself, "Oh, but Pastor Brian, there's extenuating circumstances." Guess what? God's word does not change. It says these are sin. They will always be sin. They have always been sin. They will always continue to be sin. We cannot determine, as human beings, what is morally correct. Because when we do, we're employing something called situational morality. When the situation fits us, it's okay. It might be wrong according to God's word, but when it sits for us, it's nice. I like it. It's okay. We can't employ situational morality, folks. We're not allowed to. God doesn't want us to. God has determined what is morally correct. You know something? Here's my desire. I want these front rows to be filled with homosexuals, prostitutes, thieves, drug dealers, anybody that's away from God right now. Please fill up the, go to the streets, invite them here. Because I want them to know we love them. God loves them. For God so loved the world. He loved those people too. And maybe if they came here, we could love them and they could hear the truth. And the truth would be that two-edged sword that would help them to turn their lives around. Wow. I want them here in our church. I would love to have them here in our church. Well, today I want to teach you, if I can, three lessons about judging. Lesson number one. Before we judge anyone, we must first examine ourselves. Wow. That's something not a lot of us like to do. But it doesn't seem pretty ridiculous that someone with a big log in their eye is going to try to take a piece of sawdust out of someone else's eye. Huh. It seems like a comedy routine almost. But you see, when we don't see the log, we don't see that judging can almost become a little bit addictive. Yeah, we feel free to judge everybody regardless of who they may be and what they may have done. And I think our culture, listen carefully, I think that our culture promotes judging. Anybody here on Facebook? If you're on Facebook, please raise your hand. Ah, almost everybody. Now, don't you like Facebook when it says, you read it and then you get to push, you get to judge. Okay, I like. What have you done? You've judged. You've judged what you've just seen and heard. I like. Unlike, unlike. You're judging. Right there. The culture we live in almost promotes it. Okay. I'm not putting Facebook down. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying the next time you push like, you've thought about it and you've judged. I know. When it comes to judging, the solution is to look back at ourselves first. There's a wonderful African proverb. If you're not familiar with this proverb, it says this. Chimpanzees laugh at each other's tails. That's a proverb. So when the chimpanzees are standing behind their other friendly chimpanzees, they're laughing at them. You know, I looked up chimpanzees on Google them, and I found this. Chimpanzees don't have tails. I'm wondering what it is on the back of each other that they are laughing at. I don't know, but chimpanzees laugh at each other's tails. And yeah, you see, the chimpanzee fails to turn around and look at himself, doesn't he? So before we begin to judge, let's first look at ourselves. Even every communion service, we read this verse, don't we, from 1 Corinthians 11. It says, but a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat the bread and drink of the cup. Even before we take communion, God says, look at ourselves. Yeah. God wants us to have the purest of hearts. That's why he says this. And I believe this whole passage about judging is really about the purity of the church. Yeah, I know you think, are you sure, Pastor Brian? Yes. This morning I got up at 3 o'clock. Actually, about 2:45. I was laying in bed and I was praying. I said, Lord, what shall I share with the congregation tomorrow? I got up. I read the passage again. About 5 minutes later, Nancy came in the living room. She said, Brian, what are you doing? I said, I'm praying. I want to make sure that the words I'm sharing today with the congregation will be understood. And I read the passage. And Nancy said, can I pray with you? So we prayed together this morning at 3 o'clock. We prayed for you. Yeah, we did. You see, I care about you. I want us to notice today also that with our support text, especially in verse 5, it says sometimes we act like hypocrites. The next verse, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Sometimes we act like hypocrites. Sometimes we're hypocritical in our thinking. You see, God doesn't forbid us from judging. And that's what many people think. Because it says here, and then you will be able to take the speck out of your brother's eye. God does not say you shouldn't judge. God says get your own life right first. You see, the whole process of judging is to help restore our brothers and sisters. We are only as strong as the weakest believer that is part of our church. So the weakest believer, if we can help them to grow and mature, then we are a stronger church. What is a Christian supposed to do? A loving and compassionate Christian. When we see someone who is obviously in a situation of sin? Do we just walk away? Hey, I don't care. I'm just leaving it behind. It's not my problem. Or do we approach them and try to come alongside and try to help? I wonder if some of you this morning had already made a decision, you've already made a judgment, and you've already said to yourselves, I know there might be someone I know in the church that is having a real problem with sin, but I'm not going to talk to them. I don't want to confront them. Maybe the pastor will do that for me, because I don't want to. I don't like to confront anyone. Maybe we can have the council. Hey, we introduced them today. Maybe we can have them do the confrontation. God's called us to do it, but he's called us to do it when we are spiritually mature ourselves. I believe this. I believe God at times calls us to confront one another. Does anyone like the everyday stress of life? Most of you probably don't. We like things that are just nice and happy and soft and gentle. Well, I'll tell you this. Confrontation is like stress on steroids. Nobody likes it. Nobody likes it. Well, lesson number one. Before we examine anybody, let's examine ourselves. Lesson number two. We must be extremely careful to have the right attitude when we are judging. Oh, here's the attitude right here. The next verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Oh, I like that verse. You know, that's one of the chicken noodle verses. Yata! I like. Yes. Yeah. We should love each other as God loved us. That's a nice verse, isn't it? Yes. Yes. The scripture says we should treat others with the same attitude that we want to be treated. How about the next verse? Verse number two from our text today. For in the same way you judge, you will be judged by your standard of measure. It will be measured to you. Oh no, that's broccoli. That's broccoli. I don't want anybody to be judging me with this. Well, sometimes we have to. Sometimes we have to. It says, in the same way you judge, others will be judging you. Sometimes we jump to conclusions, so don't we? We get a judgmental attitude about ourselves. We walk into a room and suddenly we put our judgment hat on and we find fault with a lot of things. Have you ever fallen victim to that? Well, it's sad. It's sad. It's like this corporate executive. He is the owner of the company. He has a big, huge corporation. And he is going to go and visit some of the warehouses where his men work. Because he's going to spy on them. So, he goes to visit this big warehouse, and he is dressed like a workman. And he watches. And there is this one man. All he's doing is leaning against some boxes. Whoa. The corporate executive was very angry in his heart. He said, what's that man doing? He looks at him. Man waves back. Hey, all right. He waits maybe 20 minutes. He said, the man has done nothing for 20 minutes. I am paying this man. So he says to the man, hold it, hold it. What are you doing? You've been sitting here for 20 minutes. You've done nothing. How much do you make a week? He said, I make 90,000 yen every week. The boss takes some money out of his pocket, pays him 90,000 yen and says, you are fired. That is your severance pay. Go. I don't want you in this company anymore. Well, the foreman of the warehouse comes over to the executive. He says, what did you do? He said, I fired that man. He was just here for 20 minutes doing nothing except leaning on these boxes. And the foreman says to the corporate executive, He doesn't work for us. He was only here delivering packages, waiting for a signature. No. Sometimes we get so judgmental that we forget to see the whole picture. I had a lady in my church a long time ago. I heard her saying to this lady, she did not know her. She said, that dress is too skinny for you. You should not be wearing a dress because you're too skinny. But the lady said, I know I am very skinny, but I have to wear this dress. I told the judgmental lady, I said, you don't know. But the lady who was very skinny wearing that dress, she's recovering from cancer. And she's not been able to wear a dress for many months. So today she wore a dress to church because she had gained a few pounds. And when you said that to her, you hurt feelings. So we have to be very careful what we see and not to bring a judgmental attitude. I don't think I told the interpreter that, but now she's waving at me like, I will talk to you later, Pastor Brian. You see, when we need to make some kind of judgment, we need to try to put ourselves in the other person's shoes. I know that when I personally need to be corrected, I really want it to be done in a very gentle way. Very gently. Yeah. Do you remember there's a very old song from the 1950s by Brenda Lee. It says, break it to me gently, the easy way. You know why I'm not in the choir. They're not so happy with my singing. But I do play. Well, it would be nice if everything was said to us in a very gentle way. But sometimes it's not. I don't want anyone talking behind my back. If you have a problem with me, I give you permission. Come, talk to me personally about it. If it is something that is bothering you, something I have offended you with, by all means, please come. It will be like broccoli when you come, but it's okay. I'll handle it. Sometimes, unknowingly, we judge people non-verbally. We don't have to say a word. What does this mean? That means I've got a problem with you, buddy. Yeah. Have you ever had these people that they look down their nose at you? And kind of make a funny face. And then they raise their nose up in the air and walk away. That is nobody. They're judging you, aren't they? Non-verbally, we send out messages. We have to be very careful. Welcome people with open arms. I care. Or better yet, sometimes, just like this is okay. But open arms. We have to care about people. We can learn a lot by the way that Jesus talked to people. If you remember when he talked to the hypocrites, he was right in their face, wasn't he? He pulled no punches. Look at this. The next verse. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Jesus called the Pharisees who were finding fault with people. He said, these men are like blind guides leading people who are blind. They're both going to fall into the pit. Wow. I don't think Jesus was very happy about it. And what else did he say to the Pharisees? Woe. Excuse me. Back to that next verse. Let me go forward a little bit forward here. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll read it. Here's what it says. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Wow. Jesus was in the face of the Pharisees. I like better the way Jesus in John chapter 8 talked to the lady who was caught up in adultery. Remember, they were going to stone her, weren't they? And what does Jesus say? First, he shields her from the stoning. And then he says to her, go and sin no more. Jesus recognized the sin in her life, but he also recognized that we make mistakes. And Jesus told her to go, but stop the sinning. He was very gentle with the lady caught up in adultery. Yes. With the Pharisees, he was not so gentle. You see, when we come to regular people in our lives, we have to be very careful. So the second lesson, have the right attitude before you begin to judge someone. Put yourself in their place. Lesson number three. We must use the proper standard. Wow. First of all, let me help you determine this. It is okay to judge, but not to be judgmental. This will forever be our standard. This is the system of absolutes that God has given us. Nothing from the world will ever be part of our absolutes. Because Satan is the prince of the power of the world. This is God's word. So don't let something from the world be part of your standard. This is your standard. Wakaremasuka? Oh, good. Scripture says it is okay to admonish one another. Uh-oh, admonish. That's a fancy word for broccoli. Admonish. It's a fancy word for what happens when we have discovered something about someone, but it's only when we are acting on and we have determined that something is wrong with a Christian brother or sister. Colossians 3:16, our next verse. Look at this. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Here, the word of Christ. Let it be part of you. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Yeah. How would you like this? How would you like it when somebody came to confront you about sin and they were singing it to you? Yeah. How would you like this song? Do you know this song? Old John Doe had some sin. E-I-E-I-O. Fornication there, adultery there, lying here, cheating there. E-I-E-I-O. What, would you like it to be like that? No. Well, it says here we should be singing with thankfulness. Actually, the Psalms in God's Word, this was the hymn book of the first church. These psalms were sung. Yeah, the psalms, all 150 psalms. Here's a bonus for you. How long did it take to write the whole book of Psalms? Anybody have any? You can take that. If you're taking notes, take this note. It took 1,000 years just to write the book of Psalms. But you didn't know that. Some of you probably did. All right, let's read on. God says it's all right to admonish one another. Matter of fact, he said we should be doing it with song. The problem is almost no one likes to do the admonishing. Broccoli. I don't want to do the admonishing, Pastor Brian. I don't want to. Listen to the next verse. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Like the man in the warehouse or the lady that told the other lady, you are too skinny to wear that dress. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Wow. God has given us the right and the responsibility to admonish one another. But folks, it's only in extreme cases. It's not a witch hunt. Let's look at the next verse from 1 Corinthians. You'll be amazed when you read this verse. But actually, the Apostle Paul wrote this, I wrote to you not to even associate with any so-called brother, that's a Christian, if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. Oh my goodness. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that would be a very sad day for our church. If we had to tell someone, we cannot go to lunch with you because you are a immoral person, covetous, idolater, reviler, drunkard. Would be a very sad day. But this would be only after we have warned them, not at first glance, if we have warned them many times. I hope and I pray that we would never get to that at this church. I truly believe that God and God's word tells us in Matthew chapter 18 that there is a standard for helping to correct a brother or a sister. Here it is. The next verse. If your brother sins and sins, go and show him his fault in private. Go to him privately. Don't gossip around the church. Go to that person privately. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. He will be restored. But if he does not listen to you, then take one or two others with you. Take spiritually mature people with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact can be confirmed. Makes sense to me. If he refuses to listen, look what it says. It says, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Wow. What's God saying? He says if we can't bring a brother to be restored, even though we have warned him many times, you know what the Bible says? We can tell the church about this. That's broccoli. I never want to be in a church where there are good, solid Christian people who don't want to hear the truth about sin they may be caught up in. Folks, please, please, it is a very sad day when we have to bring this to our church. I'm trusting and hoping it never, ever happens here. As Christians, we have a responsibility to look at what other Christians do. I think God calls us sometimes to be fruit inspectors instead of just judges. Hold it. What's this next verse? I think there's a fruit inspection verse coming up here. Next verse, do not give what is holy to the dogs, or in other words, if they're not going to listen, and do not throw your pearls before swine if your Christian brother's not listening, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. I think there's another verse here. Anyway, this verse 7 on that says that people should be known by their fruits, known by their fruits. You see, when your Christian character displays itself, the fruits of your life will be very positive, very productive, very loving things. But when they are not, the fruit is not good. Our proper standard must be God's word. Our appropriate attitude must be not judgmental. I know myself before I become too judgmental with somebody. I first want to show them mercy. I want to show them mercy. Let me conclude. And I think this speaks to the idea of purity. Let me conclude by this verse in Galatians 6. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, that's sin, you who are spiritual, that's the spiritually mature people of our congregation, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. When we see someone in sin, we're to come alongside them. We're to love them. We're to care about them. I said before, we are only as strong as our weakest believer. When we have restored someone, we have done a good thing. But it's not a witch hunt. It's not a witch hunt. I hope you understand that. Is it okay to judge? Well, the scripture never contradicts itself. So, we should only judge in a manner that uses God's standard, in a gentle, courteous, full of mercy manner. Maybe it's better to say we can be fruit inspectors, if that's softer for you. Sometimes you have to check out for the broccoli, though. Oh, my goodness. When we have restored somebody, we're happy. But you know what I see sometimes happens? We come to somebody, we discuss the nature of sin in their lives, and they offer apology. But you know what we do? We become their probation officer. We're going to watch you now, because you sinned before. We are now your probation. We are holding them in a probationary period until they might slip up again. Well, guess what? Romans 3:23 says, we all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. So guess what? Even though we may have restored someone, there is a possibility they might sin again. We don't want sin to be every day in our lives, do we? But I don't want somebody holding me as they think that they are my probation officer. God's told me when He has forgiven my sins, it's as if He has forgotten them. 1 John 1:9 says, if we ask forgiveness, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all the unrighteousness. I have a clean slate. The burden has been lifted. Hallelujah. That's what I want. We can't be judgmental. We can't be. Our church must have a standard. Truly, this is our standard. When God has forgotten the sin in our lives because we have asked apology to Him, we have a clean slate. Guess what? I have weak moments. I would like to be the purest pastor I can be. I'm still a human being. I still make mistakes. I still must own up to God and say I'm sorry. It happens. I know this message wasn't always ear-tickling. I wish it could have been just all chicken soup for you. I know. I wish it could have been. Sometimes we have to take the broccoli. Sometimes. Brothers and sisters of OIC, if we are ever going to be the church that God has called us to be, we must adhere to the standard He has given us. We must love each other. We must care about, but we must care about one another enough that we can restore them in grace and in mercy. God loves this church. We can be so much if we just follow the standard. Let's pray. Lord, we stand at your throne of grace, praising you and thanking you, Lord, that you've given us your standard, your word. You are directing us by your Holy Spirit. We pray now, Lord, that as we love one another, that we show mercy and compassion to them. Lord, if someone is stumbling, Lord, help us to come alongside. Carry their burden with them. Lord, even as I'm praying this, I sense your Holy Spirit speaking through me. I praise you and thank you for his presence here today. in this sanctuary. In Christ's name we pray.